Hey, 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 it's Chaos Queen here, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hey, it's Mistress Carrie, and you are listening to Studio 2009.
That's right, folks. There's nothing wrong with your podcast player. Do not attempt to adjust the volume. Hello and welcome back into our studio. You are now inside Studio 2009, only on the Geekcast Radio Network. I'm, of course, THN Mike, and joining me once again, almost as always, is the Dragon Lord Kai from Kai Dragon Media and Kai Dragon Gardening and Cooking. It should be Cooking and Gardening, damn it, alphabetical.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, I've tried to be unique. And that was around the time YouTube started saying you better grab what you can now for names or you're going to lose it. So I just rushed and said, you know what? It's going to be that. And it ended up saying that. But no, I get what you're saying on that. But, yeah.
That's what always...
Risk is now. Blame it on YouTube.
That's right. Blame it on YouTube. That's what always fucks me up when I try to say it, because I always want to say cooking first.
Yeah, it's one of those things that's like, yeah, you want to say it, but...
So Kai is back, and we are going to be doing a Deadpool double feature. Steve Megatron went off into some other Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like, he got called up to the big leagues or something. I don't know where Steve is, but yeah, we're going to do
Deadpool. He's looking for Francis.
Francis is dead in the pool.
Yeah, he's reliving the Deadpool era.
Yep. Bring the noise, I'll bring the pain. Ha! Kicking ass and taking names. Payback time, I'm not playing games. These superpowers are feeling strange. I move like a freaking ninja. Hand to hand, you know I'll lynch ya. Got two swords, now I'll avenge ya. I don't care if I offend ya. So we are here, Deadpool double feature Deadpool. Deadpool 1 and 2. Just the facts for the first film. Did you see this in theaters?
I saw both in theaters.
Okay, I saw none of them in theaters, and before this recording, I hadn't seen either one of them.
Which makes this is uniquely special for him, guys.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, Deadpool, 2016 superhero film, directed by Tim Miller. Mr. Miller has done other works such as... this was his directorial debut for films, for long films. He did a couple of short films in 2002, 2003. He went on to direct Terminator Dark Fate in 2019.
That's a very dark fate.
Uh-huh. And then he was executive producer on Sonic 1 and 2, as well as Sonic 3. And he was the uncredited director and executive producer for reshoots for the Borderlands movie. Hope your career takes off after Sonic 3, sir. I really do, because yikes.
Yeah. Big yikes.
Big yikes, big yikes. Yeah, Deadpool. It is all about Deadpool, Wade Wilson, and this is probably the most fun individual superhero movie I've seen in a long time.
I'd go with that.
And I'm not saying that Logan wasn't fun, but Logan is a lot darker than, like, literally Deadpool because of the character and because of how Reynolds plays him. It's basically Ferris Bueller in a super suit, essentially.
Yeah, you know, I can go... That's really actually a really good description of it.
Considering what happens at the end of this movie. Yeah, exactly. But this first film is all about him trying to save his girlfriend, Vanessa. And we have a bunch of other things going on in the movie. And I like him on his own. Spoiler for the double feature part of this later. Don't try to put Deadpool with the X-Men. Please don't. Jesus. God. So like Kai said, he saw both of these in theaters. This is my first time watching both of these. I liked the first movie a lot. The plot moves very well. The pacing of the film is great. The way he incorporates the audience with, like, you really feel like you're in the film with those characters. I think that is really cool. The music for this first film is just, it just fits so well.
Yeah, the introduction was really what got me. I mean, and I loved at the beginning where he's just sitting there writing, drawing pictures in his book, and then jumps off into the cars with maximum effort. And it's just, it was funny to me because that was the first time I saw his silly introductions, which carried on in almost every single Deadpool movie that he has done, which was fantastic.
Yep.
And for me, that was the big selling point, I think, for that. I mean, it had good music, it had everything you could think of to start with it, and really I had no complaints about it either. I mean, when I saw it, I was like, oh my god, this is really damn cool. And you know, as I started watching more and more of it, I'm just like, okay, I like this. And I think the way this start of it flows, like, how did you get here, why did we get here, really was done very well.
Yeah,
I mean, the comedy effort, like, yeah, he's wearing the brown pants at the start there during the shootout scene that's going on there, and then he goes back to how it all started. I really liked that. I think all that segment really flowed very, very good with it. I mean, then it takes you back to his past and everything involving why how he even got there in the first place. So I liked the transition phases back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, that was good storytelling.
Yeah.
When you can sit there and you can flow your story like that, that's great telling.
Yeah, normally I find story time jumps like that jarring, but I didn't in this because it just
worked. Didn't really feel it. It was just one of those things that, oh my god, it worked, because it was, you know, we've talked about this on this studio. We've talked about it on the Dragon Slayer. Good writing, you can accomplish many things.
Absolutely.
You have to have good writing. And in my opinion, that's what it did to be able to make those time skips palatable. If you just bounce around, like you said, anywhere else, it's going to get boring. It's going to be like, why am I here again? But in this case, it just didn't have that feeling.
Yeah.
And that's what I liked about it.
And the writing for this, like, normally I don't pay too much attention to the writers' names unless I absolutely notice them. And lately, because of how I consume my media, where I'm mainly just watching stuff for podcasting, I'm not really just watching stuff to watch stuff. But Paul Wernick and Rhett Reese are the writers on this, and they've done other Reynolds stuff like Six Underground. They've done Deadpool and Wolverine. They did G.I. Joe Retaliation. That kind of
thing. G.I. Joe Retaliation was just
the second one. It was the second movie. It was, people say it was better than the first one, so I don't know. It is what it is.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought all of them sucked.
Well, there are only two, thank God.
Yeah.
There's supposed to be a third one coming at some point, but who knows?
And I'm not trying to be negative on that. I just, like, oh my God. Yeah, I remember those. And I just, like, really? This don't even look good.
But this is Deadpool from 2016 is the way you should do movies. It doesn't matter what kind of movie you're doing, whether it's this type or any type. But this had a budget of $58 million, and its box office was $782.6 million. Like, that reminds me of movies from, like, the 80s and 90s doing stuff for, like, $30 million and then making three times the $30 million kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to spend... You don't have to spend $180 million on eight episodes of crap and lose your money.
You really don't.
Oh, you really don't.
And that's the nice thing about that is what we discovered is mm-hmm. you can make things happen. Mm-hmm. You can make miracles happen.
Absolutely. Getting into the cast for this, obviously Ryan Reynolds. He's done a bunch of stuff over the years. Marina Baccarin as Vanessa. Only other thing I had seen her in to this point, and even past this point, was she was... what's her name? She was in Gotham. She was in... she was Leslie Tompkins in Gotham from 2015 to 2019. She was...
Yeah, I haven't seen her in much in anything, so she was definitely new. And I think she played the role for the Deadpool's match very well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Actually, she's not that new, because she's been in a lot of stuff. Her acting debut was Perfume in 2001 for film. For TV, she was... Inara Sarah in Firefly. That was her debut. She was
really in Firefly? Yeah. Then how the hell did I not recognize her? We used to watch in Firefly.
Yeah. She was the voice of Black Canary in Justice League Unlimited. She was in an episode of the OC.
Well, so she's been around,
right? Oh yeah, she has more TV credits than movie credits, kind of thing. Because I remember because it was she's the voice of Gideon in The Flash. I was like, oh, hello. And then, I said, Gotham as Dr. Leslie Tompkins, recurring role season one, main role season 2 to 5. But I like her. I like what she did with this character. I thought that was really, really good. I've never heard of Ed Skrein, who plays Francis. So looking at his career, started in 2012 with Piggy, whatever that was. There's nothing on his... The Transporter Refueled, where he played Frank Martin Jr. Okay, so that was the fourth Transporter movie? I don't know. If Jason Statham isn't in that franchise anymore, I don't care.
Yeah, I lost track of that one, too.
Mm-hmm. And, oh, God. He's going to be in Rebel Moon... as Admiral Atticus Noble. Oh, Lord.
Well.
Yeah, I've never heard of the guy. Obviously, TJ Miller as Weasel. And I knew I recognized him the whole time I was watching this, and I'm like, wait a minute, what film do I recognize him from? She's Out of My League, Get Him to the Greek, How You Train Your Dragon. He was the voice of Truffnut Thorsten in How You Train Your Dragon. He was in Rock of Ages in 2012. He was in Ready Player One as I-Rock. So he's done plenty of stuff. He was in something. What else was he in? There was something else. Oh, that's right. He was Gene in the Emoji Movie. Good Lord.
Oh, Emoji. Oh, yeah. That was a weird movie, too.
And he was in Transformers Age of Extinction as Lucas Flannery. I remember that guy now. Yeah, but no, in this as Weasel, really love his character. I think he does a really good job. I think what's cool about the Weasel character is it's kind of like Deadpool's best buddy kind of thing, even though... You know, he doesn't really do... Like, he does stuff, but he's not out there in the action kind of thing.
Right.
And then Gina Carano as Angel Dust. So
Gina Carano as Angel Dust was good. I really liked her character.
Yep. Yeah, I like her as an actress. From, I think, Angel Dust and, what was the, Cara Dune from Mando.
She's a very talented actress.
Yeah, absolutely. I've never heard of Brianna Hildenbrand, who plays Negasonic Teenage Warhead, and I need to look at that character because, holy crap, who came up with the name of that? Ugh.
Couldn't tell ya.
First appearance, New X-Men number 115, August of 2001, created by Grant Morrison and Frank Quitely. Of course, it's a Grant Morrison character. That makes sense now. God.
Well, at least you know more about it than I do, because I... You say that, and it means nothing to me.
Yeah, it's okay. So, Stefan Kapik, I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing the last name, provides the voice of Colossus. And I loved seeing Colossus in this. It was so good.
Colossus was was a great comic relief. From the part to him getting punched in the balls. At one point, to a point that he was obsessed with getting Deadpool to join the X-Men. I love that part. I mean,
yeah.
If we look back, if we go back to the movie segment, the whole dynamic, like where Deadpool is trying to go after Francis, he's stopped by Colossus, and then gets handcuffed. Says, let's go see the professor." And then next thing you know, Deadpool's cutting off his hands. And that part still cracks me up. And then he leaves, giving Colossus the middle finger with it. Just cracked me up because it had such a, not that I'm big into, you know, that type of stuff, but it fit well with the dynamic of Deadpool.
Yeah, and the dynamic of Deadpool, I don't know much about the character other than what I've seen.
He's a comic relief, merc with the mouth, fourth wall breaker that has the ability to regenerate. So he's a lot like Wolverine, except, well, I don't know how deep Wolverine's powers goes, but the fact his whole exoskeleton is adamantium, I don't think you're like going to be able to make him just instantly vanish. Now with Deadpool, you can bring him down to like the smallest atom and he can regenerate from that.
He can regenerate. Yeah.
Which I think
Wolverine's adamantium skeleton just makes him invulnerable and that kind of stuff. I don't think you cut his hand off, his hand is going to be gone. I don't think he's going to regenerate his hand like Deadpool does.
Correct. I don't believe that either. I think that's a misconception on that. But the story of, you know, telling about how he got there, his quest for revenge against Francis for turning him into Deadpool, basically, for trying to enslave him and everything else heinous that he's done. The thing was, Deadpool was never meant to be a hero. He's an anti-hero. A lot of people get that mixed up. He is not your good guy. He is a guy with one hell of a mouth that makes bad guys angry, and one of his closest people to him has always been Wolverine. Like, they've made video games with him and Wolverine. And those two basically blend together. You can't really have Deadpool without having Wolverine of some kind. So when Wolverine, you know, comes into the play, there's even more shenanigans and stuff. They even made a Deadpool video game.
Yep.
So that's kind of where, given just a little bit of lore, that's kind of where it all stems from. Now, the other factor with that movie was the sword fighting, the action, everything was just really, really good. I mean, from the very beginning, I mean, you can't, my opinion, just think how I don't want to say this. You really can't dismiss the Deadpool fight scenes with this one.
Mm-hmm.
Because the katana play, him going after Francis, the whole Deadpool thing that starts, him trying to get the outfit made, all that, and the constant, where's Francis, the subway guy, which cracks me up. He'll take the footlong fully loaded. Yeah. I like the whole thing. And I feel like the movie ended well, wham bam, start, finish, and then he made a joke at the end of it, like a Ferris Bueller. Like, yeah. Show's over, get out of here. And it, if it was the only movie he had done with it, that would have been perfect. There was, yeah. I don't see many flaws with this kind of video.
Yeah, no,
it was a traditional, in my opinion, I could do without a sequel. I could do without anything. Let's go wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. It's done. It's everything's set in stone. There's nothing more to really think about it or worry about. It was, in my opinion, that's the movies that we tend to miss. Because, yes, is having all the extra stuff great? Sure. But when you look at the legacy of this particular movie, it does a powerful start to finish, and that start to finish just goes a long way.
Yeah, it does.
And I personally can't really think of any other way they could have done it. And in my opinion, like we've talked about on both shows,
mm-hmm.
the way movies should be.
Yep.
Where there's the beginning and end.
Yep. And the funny thing is that he does the whole, like you said, he does the whole Ferris Bueller thing at the end. And he's like, oh yeah, by the way, Cable's going to be in the next one.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That sounds like it's going to be awesome. And this first film, I absolutely enjoyed it very much. From beginning to end, like you said. I think for me, with my with the notes that I did take on the first film is the opening yeah. title and the end credits, like, oh my god. Like, the writers, the true heroes of the movie, and all these other crazy credits and silly credits
that good he does. Good point. I didn't think to bring that up.
Yeah, I love that. And you even have, I don't know if anyone else besides me caught this, you have a DC Animated Universe reference in this movie. When he gets in the car, I think it's from the first time he gets in Defender's cab, he says, ah, rich Corinthian leather. That's the first thing the Joker says when he gets into Lex's limo in World's Finest. When it's Batman and Superman.
I did not know this.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, rich Corinthian leather.
That's a nice little throwback.
Yeah, they even got a DC reference into a Marvel movie with this one. That was hilarious. I like the romance aspect of it between him and Vanessa. I think that's a fun little thing to this. The action and the comedy are great. The fact that he breaks every bone in his body trying to fight Colossus, that's just crazy. And again, I forget who he's talking to when he says this, but he calls somebody, is it the dog maybe? I don't remember. He calls somebody Basil. Oh no, it's the little carrot, it's the little guy that they have. I don't know. It's a Fawlty Towers reference. I don't know how many movies or TV shows in 2016 were making Fawlty Towers references. They talk about Professor Xavier. where he says, McAvoy or Stewart, these timelines are so confusing. Let's face it, Stewart is the only Professor X.
Yeah. You're bringing up stuff, but you've also rewatched it sooner than me. I just remember it all because, well, not all of it, but you're definitely finding things that I forgot about, but at the same time was very, very true.
Yeah,
and I don't think they could have done anything differently in that movie. If I were, thinking back to it, I don't really feel like that movie had anything that just made me go, ugh.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so rare in movies.
Yeah, very rare in movies nowadays.
And I think I liked that a lot. I liked that vibe a lot.
Yeah. Again, it's just one of those things where it really was a very good first superhero movie. I would put this on par with Batman 89 and Superman 70, the original Superman movie. But putting that on par with those means that each of those films were made at such different times in Hollywood that they are all so unique. Like, you look at Superman, all of that is practical.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I'm not saying Deadpool isn't. What I'm saying is the time that Superman was made, looking at Krypton, the ice crystals, and everything else, all of that was practical. None of that was digital. You get to 89 with Batman. 90% of that was practical. Even the driving with the Batmobile. All of that practical. And then you look at this. This is pretty much all practical. I don't think there's many, if any, CGI scenes in this. So you have three different practical superhero films from technically three different decades. You've got the 70s, the 80s, and then the 2010s. That's amazing.
Yeah, that is. But the most, when I think of special effects in that one, it wasn't over the top with special effects either.
Not at all. Yeah, if you folks...
That's one thing I had to think about that, because I was like, did it have a lot of special effects or anything? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, when I think about it, it didn't have near as much.
Yeah, no, not near as much. Would we recommend this film to people? Absolutely. If you just want to find... If you know nothing about Deadpool, this is a way to learn about Deadpool. If you just want a fun superhero romp film, absolutely. So for our GCR and Geek Meter rating scale, I am probably going to give it a 4 out of 5. Really good, high quality fun. There are some issues, which really there aren't, kind of thing. So that's what I'm going to give it. What are you going to give the first movie?
First movie, because I was impressed. I still have a lot of rewatchability with it. It was great comedy. The adaptation to the character was spot on. I think Ryan Reynolds did a great job with it all. I mean, I really don't have much complaints about the movie soundtrack. I'm going to give it a 5. And I don't give 5s very often, or 10 out of 10s or whatever.
Yep.
Depend on which score base we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't see anything that says give it anything lower. And that's just my thought. Now, that can be changed differently.
When we
go to the next segment.
We'll get to that. So we're going to take a quick ad break, do some podcast ads and some other stuff, and we'll come back with Deadpool 2 right after this.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks. Every Friday on the GeekCast Radio Network.
Hey, Jared, I have this idea for a new show for the network.
What is it?
You know how I liked the 1990s comic book series, The New Warriors?
Yeah. Yes, yes. Yep.
And you know how at the Long Boss Crusade we're trying to get the YouTube channel going?
Also correct.
Well, thanks. So, how about you and me do a live stream show about the New Warriors? You've never read the books before, and I have them, and so that's a great setup. We could give it a catchy name, like Come Out to Play. Don't you think that's the greatest idea?
Sure, Delvin, that's a great idea. Just one question.
Yeah?
Why do you have me dangling off this ledge, holding me by only one arm?
Oh, yeah. Well, you'll get it soon, I hope. Come Out to Play, a New Warriors podcast, comes to you live on YouTube every second Tuesday of the month at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Longbox Crusade channel. If you can't watch it there, we replay them on the Longbox Crusade Network podcast feed, available anywhere podcasts can be found. We invite you to come along for the ride, or in other words, New Warriors. Come out to play, yay!
Yo, Joe, and welcome to the Cracktastic Plastic Podcast, where a punk rock band of brothers get together to talk about one of our shared loves, toy collecting.
Toy hunt by day, punk rock band by night. We'll take any excuse to get in the van.
We all collect different toy lines like those real American heroes.
G.I. Joe!
To the toys that are more than meets the eye, Transformers.
To He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
From vintage to modern and all topics in between, you can always expect some rowdy and passionate discussion because we love talking toys here on the Cracktastic Plastic Podcast.
Hey, toy fans, this is John, also known as Iacon Dispatch. You can find me on pretty much every social network at Iacon Dispatch, where I share cool Transformers and Star Wars stuff that I like. Thanks so much to the great people at GeekCast Radio Network for putting this awesome project together and for once again letting me contribute to it. Definitely had a lot of fun with it. Take it easy, everyone, and I'll see you around online.
For the best in science fiction, join Mark Baumgarten, Vicky Jakubowski, Zion Kiros, and Juan San Miguel on the award-winning podcast Marku 42's Universe. Doctor Who, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Star Trek, and more are all fair game with Marku 42, which has been around since 2012 in one form or another. Marku 42's Universe is proud to be a part of GeekCast Radio Network, the best place to get your geek on. Listen to us bi-weekly or weekly if we have a topic relevant for you, our listeners. Marku 42 on GeekCast Radio Network, a match made in a galaxy near you.
Do you like the Transformers?
Yes.
Do you like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Cowabunga!
Do you like IDW Comics?
And comic book podcasts?
Then come check out Ninjas and Bots. Each week we look at an issue of Transformers
or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from their IDW Comics incarnation. We drop episodes every Saturday morning.
Just like the cartoons we loved as a kid. The show can be found on your favorite podcatcher and at johnreadscomics.com.
See you then.
Do you know John Hyatt songs?
Maybe you know them from being covered by Roseanne Cash, Three Dog Night, the Neville Brothers, Emmylou Harris, Eric Clapton, B.B. King, Jeff Healey, Bonnie Raitt, or literally hundreds of others.
Maybe you have some of his albums on your shelf, or in your cow-horned Cadillac right now.
I'm Jesse Jackson.
And I'm Sylvan Groff.
And we're going to dive in from A to Z. Join us on the Perfectly Good Podcast.
We're going to discuss all of your favorites and uncover some forgotten gems, from Aces Up Your Sleeve to Zero House.
rate and debate every John Hiatt song on the Perfectly Good podcast, Have a little faith.
Hi, I'm Dan, and I'm the host of the Rock Nerd Radio Show, which airs live on HudsonRiverRadio.com every Wednesday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It also gets backed up as a podcast, which you can find on your preferred podcasting platform. Every week on my show, I talk about all kinds of pop culture. I talk about music. I talk about movies, TV, comics, collectibles, and so much more. I also feature a guest on my show periodically, which you might enjoy. I have a couple of special segments on my show, one called The Cover Song of the Week and My Favorite Thing in the World This Week. If you think this sounds cool, check it out sometime. I hope you do.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spots sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
All right, folks, we are back at the Deadpool double feature. Deadpool 2 came out in, when the hell was this released? 2018. Yeah, May 18th of 2018, running time 119 minutes. Mm-hmm. What's surprising to me about this is they doubled the budget, but they made around the same amount of money. So the first film's budget was $58 million. This film's budget was $110 million, and it made $785.8 million. So they gave it $50 million more for the budget, but it only made back the same, nearly identical to the first film's box office.
I'm going to say this. The trailer, he did a couple funny trailers where he's mimicking Superman and trying to change into his outfit and stuff. Some of that stuff was funny, but overall, I feel like this one really didn't have the same impact. Even the intro wasn't, I mean, it had the same similar thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the tragedy of, well, if you haven't seen it by now, I mean, there is a spoiler here, but Vanessa dying, which triggers a lot of this crap at the start, really, that was the first big one that just absolutely shocked me. And, but it really got, in my opinion, Deadpool worked up enough that he had no fucks to give. Pardon my French. Mm-hmm. At that point.
It's fine.
I mean, just basically that mentality. He was a man with nothing to lose at that point. And in my opinion, it built a foundation to bring in Cable, which Cable, for those that don't know, is an X-Men time traveler that came from the future, typically, that I remember in the comics is like Sentinel's Days Past or some crap, where he came back to try to change the world because his world is misery. There's no mutants left. Everything's pretty much been wiped out by the Sentinels, and he has high tech to go back in time.
Right. So the thing with Cable, folks, is, and most people will know this, but between this and the original X-Men, the animated series, his story is very, very similar, because in that one, Henry Gyrick and Trask create Master Mold. Master Mold creates this other thing that ends up in the future, that ends up destroying the future, which destroys Cable's family and everything else. Similar to this one, where the whole plot of this movie is Cable is coming back in time to kill Pyro Dude Russell Kid, because Russell, if he becomes a serial killer, will go on to destroy the entire world and will kill Cable's family. So it's a very similar storyline to the old cartoon series to now. So it's that kind of thing. And it's fine. But I got to say, like I said, I watched Deadpool, the first movie, and enjoyed the whole thing, sat here, watched the whole thing through. I can tell you right now, 19 minutes and 56 seconds into the second film, I was bored to tears. Completely bored.
Other than the Vanessa part, the pacing was bad.
Yep.
It took forever for, them to really start trying to get me to want to feel invested in this kid that will eventually become this psychopath.
Yep.
And,
What I do like about that is that Deadpool does try to get the kid to go good. I feel like, and maybe it's just because the kid's name is Russell. Maybe it's just because the kid's name is Russell, but I feel like Deadpool is trying to be Carl from Up, and he's trying to help this kid. But
he does. I mean, he does try. That's the thing. He does try. Mm-hmm. Whereas this mutant from the future is really trying to make sure the kid stays on the path of evil. Yep. And so you have this good, it's like an evil devil sitting on this kid's shoulder, and he's just ready like a powder keg to go completely batshit crazy. And the only thing stopping is, Cable's obsessed with offing this kid. Meanwhile, Deadpool's thinking, this is insane. I'm not going to do that, which would fit with Deadpool, because despite what people think about Deadpool, he's not that kind of a person.
Yep.
He thinks that this is absolutely wrong, but he's going to try to do everything he can to change that, including... Yep. And there's very few memorable moments in this movie, which is the part that is disappointing to me. But I remember the part where basically Deadpool makes himself the bad guy.
Yep.
Because he basically offs Russell's stepdad or something that basically...
No, it's the headmaster,
Headmaster. I'm trying to remember. It's been a while on that part since I've seen that one.
So the funny thing is, folks, it's been a while since Kai has seen this movie. I just watched it today, and normally when I'm watching movies to record podcasts and stuff, I'm sitting here at my computer watching on Disney Plus or whatever, but I'm sitting here at my computer, and I'm taking notes, and I'm...
Yeah, he's able to beat me on this one a little bit more, because I do remember the movie, but I don't... Like, yeah, and it was just this evil psychopath headmaster. Yeah. Which is funny, because then Colossus is wanting to go after Deadpool, and everything's going to hell, and Colossus is like, I've had enough of him, and then it's funny how that all goes down.
Yeah.
And it still doesn't change anything, because that the main bad guy is still trying to influence the kid. So it's like, okay, nothing really changed at this point. Nothing really did. The kid is a lost cause at this point. He's going to go for, I'm going to destroy the world, kind of thing at that point. And like
I said, I made it 19 minutes and 56 seconds into this movie.
It was one of the worst memorable movies. Yeah. I mean, I love Deadpool 1. But Deadpool 2, even with my folks, because my folks used to like Deadpool. Mom still does. My dad doesn't for other reasons we won't talk about.
That's fine. But
we watched it, Deadpool 2, once together.
Yeah.
Won't watch it again. But so, Deadpool 1, they will watch that over and over and over, because
it's such a good movie.
It was a good movie. Deadpool 2, I watched a couple times with some others that had never seen it. I got a lot of the same reaction from them that
Really? Yeah. This is this isn't like Deadpool 2-1. Mm-hmm. And that's how it was. I mean, so you get to the end, and it what it takes is Deadpool dying for the kid to snap out of it and then turn around and wipe out the bad guy himself, and then they bring Deadpool back.
Yep. And then they go into a multiple timeline thing of him erasing timelines.
And I mean, literally the only memorable thing that I have beyond that for Deadpool 2 was he goes back in time, saves Vanessa, which creates the parallel universe the multiverse thing. Because now he split the timeline where she shouldn't have died and should have. And then he goes back and comically enough offs himself for choosing to do the Green Lantern movie.
Yeah.
Which is funny to me because I mean that moment, because Green Lantern probably was one of his worst movies. He really did try that on that. But he always got so much hell for that particular movie. So to me, it was pretty darn funny that's what ended up happening.
Yeah. So like I said before, I made it sitting here just under 20 minutes into the movie. And I took as many notes as I could at that time. And I'm just like, nope, I'm not doing this. I'm just going to go lay down and watch this on my phone. And I watched it on my phone, and I fell asleep twice.
It just doesn't engage you.
No, it doesn't engage you at all.
It doesn't make you really want to feel like you're part of anything. And that's the problem with it. That's the problem that I have the most with it, is it doesn't make you feel like you are invested in anything. You're here for the wild ride of Deadpool. But this wild ride is absolutely boring.
Yeah.
What ride is there? I mean, it's just non-existent.
Mm-mm.
And to me, that's what at the end of the day ruined it for me. Much like you, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
I just could not get behind it when it come to how the story was being told, what people were doing. It felt like an empty void.
Yep. Now, the one thing that is good that came out of this movie is that at the end of September 2018, Fox announced that it would release an untitled Deadpool film in theaters on December 21st of that year in place of Alita Battle Angel, which was moved to February 2019.
Right.
And what they did was they did Once Upon a Deadpool. And they made a Princess Bride PG-13 version of Deadpool 2.
I remember that, and that was funny.
Mm-hmm. And the funniest thing about that whole marketing with that one is it's like the Beatles were produced by Nickelback. I've never seen, like I said before at the beginning of the podcast, I had never seen either Deadpool film, but I had seen all of that marketing for Once Upon a Deadpool, and I was like, okay, I've had that clip forever, and it's probably going to go right here because I love that freaking clip.
Once Upon a Deadpool.
Kind of prefer Marvel movies.
We are Marvel.
Yeah, but, you know, you're Marvel licensed by Fox.
It's like if the Beatles were produced by Nickelback. It's music, but it sucks.
Hey, that's it. I'm done. I've had it with all this Nickelback hating, right? You think that makes you cool with the cool kids in school, Fred?
No, it just makes me right.
It doesn't.
They're overproduced, formulaic, ear garbage.
Oh, really? You know who might disagree with that? Facts. 50 million albums worldwide. 11th best-selling musical act of all time. Billboard's most successful rock group of the last decade. 6 Grammy nominations, 12 Juno Awards. Those count. 6 Billboard Music Awards, 2 American Music Awards, 1 People's Choice Award, Canadian, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Sigh.
I thought we were just having fun. I didn't realize it was
You know, you were, you gotta say, you were nicer as a kid.
Tired of living like a blind man. Sick of sight of a sense of feeling. This is how you remind me. This is how you remind me of what I really am. This is how you remind me of what I really am.
And that's the thing. There's an old myth, and you've been doing this for 15 years, and I'm sure you remember the myth. Sequels suck. In this case, this one sucked. I mean, it felt so empty and hollow at the end of the day.
The problem with making a movie that has a beginning, middle, and end. And it has, even though you have the Ferris Bueller funny thing at the end, but literally, from the moment the credits open to start Deadpool 1, to the time the credits start rolling up before you get in, the beginning to the end, one movie. When movies do that, and they have an ending to them, there is resolution that you feel fulfilled from spending your 2 hours and however much money you paid for popcorn if you saw it in theater or whatever kind of thing. You feel excited because you saw a complete story. And then you try your best to come back and do a sequel. Like, they could have done anything else. They could still have done the thing with Cable. That he has to come back to save his future. Fine. You could have done it with any other, and I know this is a Fox thing, and it was 2018, so it was Fox versus Marvel, blah, blah, blah. And Reynolds even calls out about the studio wouldn't let us use, or this is all we could get, or whatever.
And yeah, he makes those jokes about budget and limitations.
Yeah. And that's fine. Those are funny jokes. I'm not saying don't make those jokes, but what I'm saying is that something else could have been done with this movie.
I mean, even the comedy wasn't nowhere near there as Deadpool 1. No. I mean, there was a lot of great scenes in comedy in Deadpool 1, like what his face looks like and everything else. I mean, there... And then him meeting his future roommate and stuff. I mean, there was a lot there. But in this instance, with Deadpool 2, it just kind of fell short. And yeah, there was a little bit of comedy here and there, but it just... The comedy deliverance in that particular one just didn't exist.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I think we've hammered the nail on the head very far, because literally I tried taking notes and then I just, the notes section in the script for me is completely...
I'm curious. I will admit that I'm curious where Steve fell on two.
We'll find out, because we will find out, and I will have Steve come up with some sort of summary that he can give us, because at some point this is going to be episode 93, and episode 97 is the three of us doing the third movie. Even though we've already done it on Kai Dragon Media, the live show that we did, we're doing Deadpool and Wolverine for this podcast in episode 97. So, no, folks, episode 97 is not going to be Deadpool and Wolverine. Deadpool and Wolverine will be airing at episode 101 of Studio 2009 this December. This has been Editor Mike. Now, back to the show. Steve will have a chance to give his, like, summary of the first two films, of whether he liked them or not.
And, because I'm curious. I don't know very many people that really liked it. I mean, I just, all around it, I was expecting Cable to be more hype and more excitement and stuff.
I was expecting Deadpool and Cable to be a bigger team up than what it was.
Yes, yes. And it just, I felt like they tried hard because they thought they could do something that the X-Men have barely been able to do, which is, you know, tie into the days past and stuff like that. I feel like they really tried. I really do. But it just, the writing just wasn't there.
And again, it just wasn't there at all. I would never recommend this movie for anybody. This has nothing for people to get excited about whatsoever. As far as the geek meter grade, I am probably going to give it a below average, which is I'm going to give it a bad. It's a 2.0. Bad. Missed potential, poor execution, and lack of focus plagues this one. It fails in a bunch of areas, but not in a spectacularly bad way.
This is my problem. If I say 3, it'd be leaning more towards just your
average.
You know what? It's a 3. It's just an average video. I mean, and for me, if you don't grab my attention at the beginning of it, if you don't pull me in at the beginning and make me feel invested, then I check out. And then I barely struggle to remember those memorable moments. And like you said, you fell asleep to it.
Yep. I had to rewatch the whole last half of the movie twice.
I mean, the depth, in my opinion, the depth that Deadpool 1 had was so much greater than the depth of Deadpool 2. I mean, this just felt hollow.
And it felt hollow in a way that wasn't a, oh my God, this is a cash grab.
It was just...
It didn't feel like... Normally movies that go for the cash grab stuff, you can automatically tell how it feels about them going for... This didn't feel like a cash grab. This felt like they just stopped caring.
And I don't really feel like, in my perspective, that Ryan Reynolds stopped caring, but I feel like there had to have been something behind why it underperformed so catastrophically. Because, I mean, when we say underperformed catastrophically... This, with the bigger budget, with the more effects and everything else, this was the worst. And this goes back to what I've said. Just because you have a higher budget doesn't mean it's going to be some out of the park, you know, holy crap, this is amazing. And in this case, that was pretty much spot on, that it was not that level of greatness.
And the funny thing is that it is the first film for the Maximum Effort production company.
Yeah.
And it's bad. Like, how do you start your company 6 years ago and you start with Deadpool 2? Like, I mean, granted, they had a hit with Free Guy. The Atom Project was great. I absolutely love The Atom Project. I've never seen Spirited. It's on Apple TV, whatever. I don't do Apple stuff. Oh, no, I've seen Spirited. Spirited was the one with him and Will Ferrell. Steve and I covered that already.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up, he's got If, which is the imaginary creature thing.
I expected Deadpool 2 to have that reaction. It was the worst out of all of them.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, I don't think in reality there's anything you could have changed to make it better.
Nope. So Kai and I are on the same page here. Deadpool 1, absolutely amazing. It was fun as hell. Deadpool 2... You shouldn't watch it. You should go from Deadpool to Deadpool and Wolverine. End of story.
I would watch it just if you have time to kill and you really want to see where it all goes. But
the problem is it doesn't go anywhere.
Well, I mean, at least, yeah, because I mean, the point is he pretty much defeated the purpose. I mean, he brings Vanessa back from the dead. So, I mean, it's like, well, there's your start to your whole multiverse theory, because he did timeline shenanigans. And yes, they do bring Cable up, and again later on. There's a couple brief moments of it, but you know, it's so it, yeah, it pretty much show that the second one does lead to the third one, but it's, like I said, it's just not there. And no, the fact that it's just not there and it misses the mark so hard that I wanted to love the movie. I really did.
I was really excited to see what Cable was going to do. And like I said a little while ago, I think if you had Cable and Deadpool at a better team up or a better situation kind of thing, it would have been really, really cool. But as it stands, it just is there. And I don't care about movies that are just freaking there.
Yeah.
I just don't.
You lose interest in movies that are there because it's like they don't, I don't want to say it's like they don't appreciate you, but at this time, at this moment, it just feels like exist.
Yep.
Watch our stuff and, oh yeah, thanks.
Yep.
And it was pretty like much a giant swift kick in the nuts. And that's
pretty much. Yep. Pretty much. Yeah, folks, this is,
well, I was going to say, that double feature, I could talk all night about Deadpool 1. Deadpool 2?
Nope.
I just can't talk about it much.
I'll put it to you this way, folks. In the, let's just say, 8 hours that I did commentary on The Acolyte that I cut down to a 20-minute audio clip, I stayed awake through all 8 episodes of The Acolyte, and I fell asleep on Deadpool 2 twice. So, just saying, Disney, come on, let's go. I know technically the first Deadpool thing wasn't Deadpool 2 for Disney, but, like, come on. So,
yeah, that was a Sony at the time.
Kai, where can the people find you online?
You can find me at Kai Dragon Media on X. You can find me, look me up there. That's where I do gaming content. Hopefully get some more, get started getting some other projects on there done. And then also I have Kai Dragon Gardening and Cooking, which is my channel that I team up with my mom because she too is a gardener. So it's a kind of a family of gardeners coming together to grow stuff. And, got to thank her a lot for all the work that she's been doing and helping me. She's been amazing as far as helping me get stuff going. Beyond that, you can find me when I'm talking with you on Geekcast Radio.
Absolutely. Yeah, Kai's kind of become a fixture around here. Only because I can talk him into doing stuff that he wouldn't normally do on his YouTube channel, because podcasting, we can get away with a lot more for the most part.
Well, yeah, you're usually a fixture in mine, too. So, I mean, feelings mutual.
Absolutely. All right, folks, thank you for joining us here inside the studio. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment and listen to all of our content over the last 15 and a half years. You can send us an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can check us out on any of the podcatching clients you choose to use. I prefer Spotify, but that's just me. We are on X at Geekcast Radio and at It's Studio 2009. I am at TFG1 Mike. We're on Facebook. We're everywhere. Kind of, sort of, almost. Join us next time when my buddy Dave Draper will return and we will be talking about, luckily this is already recorded, Star Wars, Boba Fett Season 1 and Mandalorian Season 3. So 12 months of Star Wars will continue here inside Studio 2009. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
iDragon Media.
You'll hear us back in the studio soon.